How's everybody doing this morning? Half awake, half asleep. Come on. I said, how's everybody doing this morning? All right. Sometimes you got to press through it. You know what I mean? I woke up this morning thinking, man, I could use that extra hour of sleep, but it didn't happen, so we roll on, right? Excited about what God's doing. Want to remind you that starting Easter Sunday, we'll be going to two services, 9:15 and 11, and then we'll stay at two services from that point on. And then also, I want to honor our elders. Didn't they do a great job in the Blessed series, the Blessed Life series? You know, for guys to step up and into that place and each take on, you know, three Sundays, that's a big deal. Because whether you know it or not, when you're bringing the word on a weekly basis, the enemy doesn't like it, and he'll mess with you. He doesn't have any power. He just has aggravations along the way. And so when you step out to do something for God, that's the way, that just happens. And so we want to honor you. We know that process is not easy. And we thank you for taking the time to pour into us and to help us take the steps in life to where God wants us to be, right? And so today I want to talk to you, and we'll pray here in just a second, about the things that God created and why he created it. And how many of you know that whatever God created for us is good? And it was meant to be good, it was meant to be a blessing, it was meant to be his system. And we also know that whatever God created, there's also an enemy due to the fall of man that came into the earth. And the enemy has no power to create, but he does have power to pervert what has been created. And so what I've learned in life is that simply this, is that whatever God created is good for us. Whatever God created is for us, so we never fight against that. So if God created tithing, we tithe. If God created love, we love. If God created reaching, we reach. If God said go into the world, we go into the world. So whatever God created is good. Everybody say good. And so as we get into this morning, let's take a moment and pray and just invite the Holy Spirit in. I believe he wants to do something today, even with time change and even with the start of spring break. Come on, you're here today, I'm here today, God's here today, and I believe that he wants to touch your life. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your goodness. We just invite you in to do what you want to do. Father God, as we press into you today, we pray, Father God, over the other campuses. We pray over Pastor Walt as he's in Abilene today, Lord. We just thank you that you're speaking and you're moving and you're equipping people to live the life that you've called them to, Father, to be connected with your purpose. We pray, Lord, even over Haiti and all the attacks that are going there and the Core Love ministry we support, Father, and we just ask for your hand to be upon that land and through the negative things that are happening in appearance, Father, we believe that you have a bigger plan in that, in Jesus' name. And I pray over each and every person here today. And Holy Spirit, we say, do what you want to do, say what you want to say, be what you want to be in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're talking today about God's creation and God created serving. And the word serving is a powerful word, and I'm not talking about just, you know, picking up trash and that kind of thing. The word serving in the Greek simply means to do God's work and to do God's will. It means to follow the commands of God in your life. And so God created that. So whatever God created is what? I said it a while ago, is good. And it's something that we tap into. And so I don't want to give you a sermon this morning. I want to give you a portion of my heart to help stir you to go live the life that God's called you to live. But the reality is that in life, many times, we get caught in a little thing called circumstances. And the word circumstance is not really in the Bible. God, there are circumstances, but specifically the word circumstance isn't even in the Bible. But there are trials and there are things that we face along the way that, come on, that God helps us get through. But he didn't just call us to live in circumstance. He called us to follow his will. He called us to follow his word throughout everything that we do in life. And so circumstances many times is just something that we live in. And if we're not careful, we'll create dysfunction in our life, and dysfunction will become the norm that we walk in on a daily basis. And it's just, we get used to it and we think this is just the way it is. I don't know about you, but that's happened to me many times in life. I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. I don't have it all together, right? And so the circumstance we live in, the circle that we're standing in, if we're not careful, it'll create dysfunction and we'll just live there. But God calls us to see beyond. And I believe that one of the reasons God created serving is so that we don't get stuck in circumstances and just continue to live the same old way, doing the same old thing all of the time. He wants us to go beyond. Everybody say, go beyond. And so the circle I'm standing in is simply what circumstance means. But God calls us to see beyond that. And there are things that God created. And if God created, whatever God created for you is good, right? And Hector said it a while ago, the enemy has one play. He just simply throws the ball one direction all the time. And he uses the same desires, the same distractions, the same temptations, the same behaviors. We face the same things. It's like all the time. And there comes a point, listen to me, when we're nonconformists to the world, and we step out and decide to say, hey, God, I'm going to serve you, which simply means to do his will, to do his work, to live by his commands. I'm going to walk. I'm going to step out into this. You take authority over the enemy. Come on. And you decide, I'm not going to get stuck in this circle that I'm standing in. I want to go to the places. I want to do the things that God's called me to do. And I know last week, even Michael Murphy coming in, he challenged us in a lot of that stuff. He stretched us in some ways that caused me to think bigger. Come on, how many of you know, Hector said it a while ago, we need to dream. I said, we need to dream. There are things in you, if you're not careful, it's just the normal old, same old routine, the monotonous part of life. But there are things that's stirring in you, and it's not just for the government of the church. Come on, God loves you. He wants to do something in your life. He wants to equip you to live the life that he's called. He wants to connect you with his purpose. And so there's a scripture in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, and it says this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And what does serve mean? To do his will, to do his work, and live by his commands. To do his will, to do his work, and to live by his commands. And so just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom of many. And so what I got to thinking about earlier in the week was that, have you ever noticed how valuable things are, but what or who created it makes a difference? For instance, if I said, hey, I got a new phone, your first question is going to be like, who made it? If I said, hey, I went to Dollar General and bought a phone, it's a burner phone, you're going to be like, ah, that's not a phone. You can text, you can call. You. But if I said, hey, I got a new phone, and you said, who created it? And I said, Samsung. Now, for a few of you, that means nothing, I know. Or I said, a new iPhone. Your eyes would light up because there's value that comes with that. You know, hey, he bought the best. And the best created that. This thing has a function, and it creates conversation, and it creates different realms of life. And so if I were to tell you, hey, I started serving last week, and I signed up to go on a mission trip, or I signed up to greet at the front door, or I decided I'm gonna lay this aside, because to serve means to do his will, to do his work, and to live by his commands. But in the natural, how many of you know, that's a spiritual thought, it sounds great, but in the natural, you hear the word serve and you think work, right? But if I said I started serving and you said, hey, who created that? What brand did you buy into? And I said, yeah, it's this guy Jesus who came to the earth and said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve, and God created that. And so I serve because God created it. We love because God created love. We do the things that God asked us to do because he created it, and whatever he created is good for us. We tithe not because it's a good idea. We tithe because it was created by God as part of his system, come on, to bless your life so that other people can be changed. And what you need to get a hold of is when you serve and when you step out to do his work, to do his will, and to live by his command, when you step into that, you're making it possible for other lives to be changed along the way. And so the kingdom is never about me. It's never about us. You know, someone asked me that last week. They said, well, what do you want in your life? And I got to thinking about it, and I couldn't answer. I said, I don't know. I gave myself to this. And for the last 6-7 years, I haven't thought about me. I've thought about reaching and doing and helping Pastor Walt, and that's really the way that we function. And it wasn't about just thinking about, because if I get my eyes on me, come on, there's going to be some things I go do that aren't going to be good. I just tell you right now. And that's the way the enemy works. And so there's a love for what God created, and then there's the perversion of the enemy that leads into another direction to pervert what God created. So everything God created is good. The enemy cannot create, he can only pervert. And so he perverts love and unity and all those things by creating accusation, by creating anger, by creating all these different levels of behaviors and temptations and desires that don't line up to do God's will, because we're in the will of God, living by what he created. Come on, then we're doing his work, we're doing his will, and we're living by his commands. And I don't know, I get excited when I think about God, because he's the one that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's the one that can take a nobody, come on, and turn them into at least a voice. He's the one that can take you. Listen, you don't have to be the most popular person in the room, but you could step into places and have deep relationships. And wherever you go, man, you may not be known around the world, but it can be deep. And I'm not talking about shallowness. I'm not talking about living by fad and promoting yourself and all that. I'm talking about your gift making room for you in life, living by what God created to do his will, to do his work, and live by his command. And when you step into an environment, God wants to use you to serve in that area because he wants deep relationships. He wants people to grow, and he wants things to change. But what keeps us from doing that, it's those desires from the circle we stand in. And so there's an animal called the African impala, and we got to see the impala when we were over there a few years ago. And the African impala has the ability to jump further than any other animal and can jump higher than any other animal. I mean, these things can go. And the thing is, though, you can put them in a 10-foot barrier with a 4-foot wall, and they will not leave that area, because the African impala will only jump where it sees that its feet will land. And so it just stays in that circle, that circumstance. If they get trapped in those areas, they won't leap out. And how many of you know in life that's easy to do? You can get hurt. You can be disappointed. You could feel some rejection. You can deal with some things that'll cause you not to want to leap out, because if I leap out, I don't know where my feet are going to land. The reality is that's called faith, is what it is. If you're going to leap out and you can't see the end result, that's called faith, and God is all over that. Because are we trusting in us and our desires? And so it's possible to love God, and it's also possible to love things. And what happens many times is we get drawn in both directions. And that doesn't mean, if you deal with this, it means you're human, okay? That just simply means you're human. Nothing's wrong with you. God has a plan for your life. Get a hold of the truth. Get connected. Live his will. Do his work. And live by his commands, right? But what ends up happening is there's the drawing of different aspects. And so serving kind of centers us in that. It keeps the attention on the one who created us. So if I ask you, hey, so you came to me and said, hey, I bought a new pair of jeans yesterday. I'm going to ask you, what kind of jeans? Who created them? If you say, well, I paid $100 for these jeans. Those jeans have value. Are they Levi's? And I'm not current on current jeans. Wrangler, but I don't know all the jeans. I just wear the same ones for about 10 years and then restart over again. But it means something. If I said, hey, I want you to come over to the house today, we're going to cook, and you're going to say, hey, who's doing the cooking? Is it Kelly or is it you? And I said, hey, Gordon Ramsay's coming over. You're going to go, Your interest will immediately change, because the one who's creating the meal has value. And it should cause a hunger. I don't know if Gordon Ramsay invited me over to eat, I'm in. Come on. I'm in. And so that's the way this thing works. It's like, what do I do? And so what ends up happening is there's certain desires, if you're not careful, to draw you away from focusing on the Creator. It'll draw you away from focusing on what's good and what we need in our lives. And we'll get into this thing, and I'm as bad about this as anyone else. And then for me personally, when I get in those places, I'll start connecting the dots. Well, this happened, here's what's gonna happen. I'll tell Kelly sometime, hey, I got it figured out. And she's like, no, you don't. And that's not a knock on me. She's just saying, hey, quit connecting the dots. And I used to do the same thing. I'd get on the phone with Rob Carman, and I'd say, hey, man, this has happened. This is what I think is going to happen. He said, Dave, you got to quit connecting the dots. You don't know it all. You don't have it all figured out. Come on. I don't care what your dad did, your mom did, and all these other people did. You have a course to run. Are you going to live by the one who created it, or are you going to get stuck in that circle and not take a leap? And so, just like the African impala, many times we get stuck in the circumstances of life, and if we're not careful, we'll get settled in there. So the creation matters. If people say they're Christians, but they don't know the name of Jesus, Jesus is the validity. God is the creator. He sent his son. Are you with me here today? And when we sing about Jesus, talk about Jesus, it brings a validation. It's a different conversation than Hector talked about a while ago, what they deal with in India, than Buddha and Muhammad and all those. When you talk about Jesus, I'm talking about the creator. Come on, somebody. And whatever God creates is good. I want to be a part of that. And when we connect with that, something bigger begins to take place, and God will take you from where you are today, come on, to where he wants you to be. He'll even take people from the north side, come on, and turn it into something powerful. And I can say that because Pastor Walt's from the north side. And I'm from the north side, come on. And he can tell, it doesn't matter where the locality is, it matters what creation you buy into. And there's only one creator of heaven and earth. Come on, Colossians says, all things were created through him and all things were created for him. And when you tap into that, your perspective changes, your world changes, your mind becomes to conform over to the Word of God. And all of a sudden, when I say I'm serving, it's not to promote myself to say, hey, I got it all together. When I say I'm serving, it just says I have a desire to do His work, to do His will, and to live by His commands. That's simply all it means. And when you step out into that in faith and you're willing to go beyond the circumstance, that's why when you walk in and someone greets you at the front door, come on, it means something to you. And they're just simply saying, I'm just here to do His work and will and live by His command. When our elders step up to teach us how to live the blessed life, they're just simply saying, I'm here to serve, I'm here to do His work and to do His will and to live by His commands. When we partner with people like Abraham Matthews, we're just simply saying, we want to do His work, do His will, and live by His commands. When you show up to a group, you're saying, hey, I want to do His work, do His will, and live by His commands. It stirs you up to want to live the life that God called you to live. And in the release of that, come on, there's also a letting go that has to happen. When Jesus came to Simon and He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, most people look at that and say, well, this is some young guy. You know, Simon had a business. He had a family. He had a wife. And so there's a turmoil there to say, God, how am I going to do this? And God, you know, Jesus is looking at it and saying, hey, who are you going to trust? The Creator? Or are you going to trust the way that you think it always has to be done in your circumstance? Even after Simon made the switch later on in life, he got frustrated and went back to the old desire and said, hey, I'll go back over here and fish. And so serving has a different mentality. When you get in there, you realize, hey, there are some things that are bigger than my comforts in life. Scripture even says it. There comes a point you've got to choose. Are you going to go after the destiny that's on the inside of you? Are you going to do what you love to do? Or are you going to do what you were born to do? And I'm really challenged on that. Do I want to do the things I love to do, or do I want to do the things that I'm born to do? And there's a major difference. Simon could have stayed right there and fished. Simon could have stayed in that comfort zone. He could have stayed there with his wife. He could have lived the whole process. And he remained with his wife. Don't get me wrong. Come on. They understood vision. But he didn't get stuck there. He embraced it. And he screwed up many times along the way. But he decided the things, the desires that I have for me, the desires that keep trying to draw me back, I've got to cut ties with those, and I've got to step into what God's really calling me to do. So do we want to do the things that we just desire? And I'm not saying that you can't enjoy life. That's not what I'm saying. But what were you born to do? And for some of you, maybe you're a doctor or nurse or whatever. You heard the story a while ago. Abraham Matthews says, I want to move to the United States. I want to step into this place. I want to move to there so that I could. And his reason for coming was so that he could bless his family. That was simply that. But in the process, he gets turned on to Jesus. God calls him during a worship service. And he's a doctor. The guy's a doctor. And says, that's not what I was born to do. That's just a tool. I'm born to do God's will, to do God's work, and to live by God's command. And I want to bless the nation that I came out of. And it stretched him to step out. Hey, I don't want to do what I feel like doing. Because I'll tell you right now, all of you have a paradigm in which you think. If I made the statement right now here and said, hey, we're going camping next week, immediately you're gonna base that on the experiences that you have. And you're going to think, man, I got to get a brisket. I got to get some burgers. I got to get some cold beer. Come on, that's what you're thinking. I'm not thinking that. You're thinking that. I'm not going camping. But immediately we think this is the way it has to be. Or I'm going on vacation. This is the way it has to be. Or I'm going on this mission trip. This is what it's going to look like. But what if we quit trying to figure out what it's going to look like and we focus on the one who created it and let him take us on a journey and stretch you to step out? What's some things that God has put in your heart to do that are bigger than you are? Because if you can do it on your own, most likely it's not God. And it lines up with his will, his work, and his command, which is the word of God, right? What's the thing that's calling you? What's the thing that's stretching you? And I'm not talking about for popularity. I'm talking about for living the life that he's called you to be so that other people could be changed. Are we ready to respond? Sometimes it's just with an instinct. There's an old story of a poor farmer who's out just taking care of his crops back in the early 1900s, I believe. And he's out there just taking care of his crops, and he hears a sound off in the distance. And at first he's like, man, what's going on? It'd be kind of like us today hearing sirens. But he hears this voice crying out and continues to hear it. He's doing his work. He's plowing his ground. He's doing the best he can for his family. And immediately he drops what he's doing and he runs towards the sound. And when he gets there, there was a young boy that had fallen into a pit. And so he reaches down and he's trying to get this kid out, and he tries it over and over and over again. He reaches in, he pulls this kid out and saved the kid's life. And so, you know, the kid went on, he lived, everything's going good. A few days later, this poor farmer's on his land. This luxurious carriage shows up, and a wealthy man gets out and says, hey, sir, he said, I heard that you saved my son's life. He said, I just came to thank you. And so he goes in. The man said, come in the house, and goes in. He said, hey, because you saved my son, I want to do something for you. And he said, sir, I don't need that. I was just trying to help. I saw a cause. I heard a need, and I just went to help out of the goodness of my heart. And so about that time, the poor farmer's son walks out from the back of the room, and he goes, is this your son? And, you know, he's in poor clothes. You could tell, you know, they weren't living a luxurious life like this family. And so he said, sir, is this your son? The poor farmer says, yes. And he said, how about this? He said, how about I pay for the same education for your son that I'm going to pay for my son? And so the farmer agrees. And later on in life, this rich, luxurious man ends up getting very sick and goes through a process, has a lung disease, almost dies. And there was a young man that came in that saved his life. And his name was Alexander Fleming, the same doctor that created penicillin. And it was the same young boy that he paid for his education. And later on, through the process, you find out in the story, which is really powerful, is that man's last name was Churchill. His son was Winston Churchill. And so the poor farmer saved the son that would eventually come to be a big part of a national crisis during World War II that rose up. Are you with me? And his name was Winston Churchill. And so you never know, if it were a poor farmer who they would look out from the outside and say, has no value. The poor farmer who the guy sitting on the back would say, hey, they don't look like much. The poor farmer who no one else gave credit to, come on, decided to step out and to do something different, and he responded to do the work, to do the will, to live by the commands, laid his business aside to go save a boy, come on, that would later be a major player in the world. Are you with me here today? When you serve, you never know who you're going to touch. When you serve, you never know who you're going to impact along the way. When you serve and you step out to do God's will, to do God's work, and to live by his command, you never know the moment where somebody's kid's going to get changed, or somebody's family legacy, or their line along the way. It's always bigger than we are. God created the church to create those kind of stories so that we would be people that would respond in the moment and respond into crises, even in our own family. So my question is, are we stuck in circumstance, or do we want to step out to think bigger? And I'm standing on the stage preaching the word today. This is a small percentage of what we do right here. Our job is to equip you on a weekly basis through groups and through you taking it on and you walking it out in life. The Bible says that he called you to do the work of the ministry. The stage is such a small part of what we do in the kingdom of God, but it's a necessary thing. But what makes the church go is when you get a hold of the vision and then you're connecting people with God's purpose. So I don't care if you're here today and you are the poor farmer. I don't care if you're here today and you are the Winston Churchill. Are you with me? Or the doctor? Or Alexander Fleming. I don't care who you are today, wherever you stand. There's something in you, come on, that God created that you were born to do, to step into, that could impact lives and impact people along the way. And sometimes those things have a cost that come with it. That's why when Jesus looked at Simon, he said, follow me. He was saying, count your cost. Well, I just want to be lazy and this, but I want to serve God's will and live in blessed. Didn't work. I just want to do it my way, Pastor. I just want to work in this. And before long, we're in this circumstance where we've talked ourselves out of stepping out and getting a hold of truth and saying, God, I want to do your work, do your will. You know, and I'm challenged in my own life at times. You know, Pastor Walt came in a you know, whenever it was, last year at this time, and said, just random, you know, just in the door, wasn't planned out. He just came in and said, hey, I need you to go to the Philippines. I was thinking, I just got back from the Philippines. That's not an easy trip. And I'm thinking, but we'll do it. You know, next week, Brandon Moore is leaving to go to India. Him and Pastor Walt were supposed to go together, but plans change, and Pastor has some other things he needs to do. And Brandon Moore said, hi, you stay here and take care of business. I'll go to India. Because we're called, no matter what in life the totality is, if we'll do his work, do his will, live by his commands, and we're ready. Pastor Walt always says that give God your yes. And so what does that mean in your personal life? What does that mean in your finances? What does that mean in your relationships? What value do you see when you lay your head on that pillow at night? Do we want to do his will? Do we want to step into that and do what we were born to do? Simon had this struggle, and he's like, man, I want to follow Jesus. I'm just putting myself in the story a little bit. I want to step into this, but man, I love my business. I love my church. I like Henry's. There ain't no Henry's in the Philippines. Come on, man. There ain't no Henry's in India. I don't want to leave my wife at home while I work. I mean, Simon was about to go on a journey. My mother-in-law lives in my house. She's going to fill my wife full of all kinds of crazy thoughts. That's probably what he was thinking. I made that up. That's not in the Bible. That's fictitious. But isn't it amazing all the things we can come up with? Is, you know, I don't want to conform. I don't want to give this up. I don't want to release this, because if I release this, then who am I? And we deal with these kind of thoughts along the way. You know, I was pastoring as a young man. I was a senior pastor at 25 years old. And not a weak one either. I was a good senior pastor at 25 years old. I was just young. One day I decided, man, I missed out. I should have went and played college football. You know, I had the opportunity right there to do it. I should have went and coached football. That's what I was called to do. And I started relying back on desires that I had over the desires of what God created. And I went to zip back to do something that I was still good at. It wasn't born to do it. And it took me on a different path. It took me on a spiral away from what God created. Now, a good thing about God is plan A always turns back into plan A when you get that fixed on the back end. And so maybe you've made that same thing. But my point is, isn't it amazing? At any point, Peter could have said, hey, I don't want to do God's work. I don't want to do God's will. I don't want to live by his command. I'm going back to my wife. I'm going back to what I know. And in human life, it's really easy to run back to what you know because it's comfortable. But God's saying, hey, what are you born to do? What are you born to do? What are the things that are on the inside? What are the things that I've called you to do that are outside of what you keep wanting to run back to? Am I talking to anybody this morning? Hopefully we didn't completely spring break, right? And so in the process, what am I born to do? There's some of you that have a call to preach the word, and you know it. There's some of you that have a call to step into something bigger in business, and you know it. But you keep running back to what you know to do instead of what God's calling you to do. And then we make the excuses, well, my family or my this and that. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. There comes a point, I'm not saying family's not important, but family's not first. God is first. Then it's family. But there may be some times where you've got to cut loose and say, hey, this may cause me to have to be away from some family. This may cause me to have to be away from some comfortability. I might have to give up some Henrys. Come on, somebody. That's a big deal to me personally. But if God said go, we're going to go. If God said do it, we're going to do it, right? And with Pastor Walt, I never know from day to day what world we're going to be. We're going to step into some stuff, man. But have we given God our yes? Have we stepped into that place in our lives to say, God, I'm going to follow your will in my marriage. I'm going to follow your will. I want to do what we're created to do. And so, you know, it's just a matter. And then all of a sudden, God starts aligning things and God starts shifting things, just like he did with Simon. Simon was cutting ears off. Simon was complaining. Jesus even looked at him at one point and said, get behind me, Satan. He He was in that process, but he was trying to stretch out to become what God wants him to be. And as Christians, we sit back and say, everybody's got to have it all together in order to step. Just take a step, man. If you screw it up, we'll get you back in line. Come on. And that group leader and that person next to you or your husband, they'll say the right thing to you. Hey, quit connecting the dots. And it's important as we're walking that out, but we like the prestige of Christianity many times. We'd rather look good than be good. But what are we born to do? What are we born to do and who created it? So if God created serving, that's more valuable than who created the iPhone. That's more valuable than any kind of other creation in clothing or cars or any of those kind of things. If God created it, then it's good for us. And if God asks us to do it, it's because it's good for us. And the one, you know, I had a guy tell me one time, and you know, the enemy is the one who perverts things. And there's a whole teaching we could go into on that, but I won't do that today. But I had a guy tell me one time, he said, you know, and when the fall of man came, certain things happened. And so I had a guy try to talk to me in that and making excuses of why he couldn't step into things of God. And he said, man, I love marijuana. And I wasn't judging him for it. But he said, if it came from God's good earth, isn't it good for me? I said, well, poison ivy comes from the earth. I don't see you jumping in it, Jack. It's just excuses, and it's a valid thinking, and I credit your Google ability and all those kind of things to research. But it comes down to this. Jesus said in Matthew 7, those that hear my sayings and do my sayings are like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Those that hear my sayings and do my sayings are like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. In other words, those that hear my sayings and do my sayings are like a wise man who lived to do the will, to do the work, and live by his command. He said that when the wind come and the storm come and the rain come and the thought comes and that old circumstance that tries to draw you back, which the scripture says that we're not of those that draw back to perdition. That's the person they rise up to say, God, I'll accept the challenge. And I may not can see over that wall. Pastor Walt has another story of a wall. You need to hear that. It's really powerful, but that's his story, so I can't tell it. But I may not be able to see over the wall. But I know that he who called me is faithful and that all things work together for those who love the Lord. And it may not be in your timing. It may not be in your moment. It may not be when you think it's going to be, but stay faithful to his will, to his work, and to his commands. And I promise you, in the journey of life, God will position you to step into what you were born to do. Stand your feet with me this morning. Father, we thank you for this crowd that showed up today, Father God, on a time change and a spring break. Lord, we thank you for their faithfulness and their willingness to step out. And Lord, we just say today that you're good, Father, that what you created is good. What you created is good for us. And we thank you, Father. I believe that you're challenging today those that have been stuck in circumstance, Lord, those that are in a place where they're just struggling. And listen to me, when I talk about being stuck or struggling, it's just not for those struggling in weakness. Sometimes it's for many of us that have been saved many years to step into that new place. And so every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I keep drawing back. I keep dealing with the excuses. I keep, you know, about the time I want to step out, I keep drawing back to this thing. But I'm ready to step out personally and take responsibility. To live a life that God created, and that's for me to serve him, to do his work, to do his will, to step into his commands. And I want to, if God, you created it, then I just acknowledge it's good for me. I'm settling that today. You are the truth. Your word is the truth. But I'm tired of excuses. I'm ready to fully engage and step into what God's called me to do. I want to step into what I'm born for. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand this morning. I see those hands. Thank you. You're stepping into what you were born for. That didn't mean it's just going to happen tomorrow, but come on, there's a shifting beginning to take place. And as you step into that, let the Holy Spirit do some things in you. Let the Holy Spirit stir you right now, just in this moment. Let him stir you into this thing and make a decision. I'm not going to let the perversions, I'm not going to let the perverter draw me back. I'm not going to let the false desires draw me back or the things I hold on to draw me back. I'm moving forward in faith. I'm moving forward in faith and I'm stepping into this thing. I want to step into what I was born to do. In Jesus' name. Come on, pray this with me today. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you created us. Come on, say it like you mean it, that you created us to be what you've called us to be. And as we embrace that today, Father, we want to step in to follow you, to do what you've called us to do, Father God. And I thank you right now that Holy Spirit, just you're speaking to me. You're speaking to me. And Father, I pray over each and every person that there's a strength that's taking place. And as they press into you, as they leave this place today and they get into your word and they get into you, the stirring of your spirit and the things that you've called them to do, Father, that there'd be a strength that begins to take place. That Lord, there's some in here that need to dream again. There's some serving, Father, that have fallen into depression. We break that in the name of Jesus. And we say, Father, as we walk this out, we're not looking to have the light shine on us. We're looking, Lord, that the light shines towards you. And Lord, it's not about popularity. It's not about, Lord, we're just as important as the poor farmer. And we thank you, Father God, that if you used him to touch a life, you're going to use us to touch a life. I pray that salvations will take place. I pray that legacies and families would take place, Lord, that you would strengthen us, Father God, even in a year of challenges and chaos, Lord, that you would give us clarity in what you've called us to do. And we declare today that we are born to live your will and to live your word and to walk this thing out. And we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a hand. And we're going to sing this song.